we extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We are celebrating 67 years of continuous radio broadcasts. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What was Jesus' mission walking on this earth? We're going to let him answer that question in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you have come to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ and revealed very clearly to us what your mission is. Give us, O God, an attentive ear to your voice. Let us know why you did come. And let us know how badly we need you in a personal relationship. God, we pray your blessings upon the church on this Sunday. We ask, O God, that as your word is proclaimed around the world, the Holy Spirit may find it possible to enter into the hearts of many people, that they may come to claim Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Now listen to George Beverly Shea as he sings that marvelous song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. He'll take and shield thee.
Thou wilt find a solace there.
Friends in Christ, what was Jesus' mission while he was here on this earth? This is our subject today, as we continue this series of sermons on basic Christian teachings. We turn to the scriptures and let Jesus answer this question. There is no question that during the course of history, and even in our present day, there are many who are willing to answer the question and tell who they think Jesus is, what he did while he was here, etc. But it seems only right to me that we let the person answer the question himself. My mission was. And then he goes on to tell us. Well, here are four, could be many more than four, but this is where I limit it today. First, he came to be a teacher. He writes in John, the 12th chapter, verses 44 and 45, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe only in me, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." We ask the question again and again, what is God like? What is he trying to do? How does he deal with us? Well, Jesus, in this passage of scripture that I have just read for you, says, if you want to know what God is like, then study the life of Jesus in the gospel. There you'll have the answer to it. What is one of the first things you'll find? You find that God, our Heavenly Father, is loving, he is forgiving, but he is also very righteous. You could demonstrate that, and Jesus tells us about this in his ministry. There was a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. They brought this woman to her to test Jesus, and they said, we have actually caught her in this act of adultery, and that means that she is deserving of being stoned. Now, what do you say about her? And you recall that story, how that Jesus knelt over and began to write in the sand, and he said to them, if there is any one of you who is without sin, you cast the first stone at her. And when he raised up again, they had all gone. And he said, was there no one who condemned you? And the lady said, no, Lord. And then notice this word. He said, neither do I condemn you. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Isn't that interesting? Does God condone her sin? Of course he doesn't. Is God willing to forgive her sin? Yes, he is. And Jesus demonstrates that. But did you notice that last part? He said, now go and sin no more. That meant that she would not return to that old sin of an adulterous life. But having been forgiven by the grace of God, now she is to become a new person and, empowered by the Spirit of God, live according to the will of God. That's why Jesus came. He came to teach, and he came to be a revealer of God. He also came to tell the world that lives in spiritual darkness what truth really is. There are some today, Pilate asked that question, what is truth? The question is still being asked, and it was asked before Pilate asked it. Is there a right, and is there a wrong, and is there a truth? Our Lord Jesus said there is a truth. There is a right, there is a wrong. The Word of God says that that's true. The Ten Commandments have been given to us. The Ten Commandments still stand. Remember what he said to them, to the people when they came to him and talked about difficulties with their relatives and their friends? Jesus said to them, hating is wrong. If you know that your brother hates you, or if he's got something against you, then you go to him and straighten it out. He goes on and becomes very, very specific. He said, if you are not willing to forgive those who have offended you, neither will your Father forgive you. And so if we had time, we could go on and on and on, and we could talk about Jesus as the revealer of God and Jesus as the one who tells us what is right and what is wrong. Let's go on to the second answer that he gives. Why did I come? What is my mission? My mission, he said in Luke 19:10, is to seek and to save what was lost. Lost, friend. Here he talks about people as being lost. That is, outside of a relationship with God, and lost, both now and for all eternity. But he says the Heavenly Father doesn't want anyone to be lost. Now the setting of this verse is found in relationship to that man by the name of Zacchaeus. You recall Zacchaeus was that hated tax collector. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with him. But then finally one day Jesus came to Jericho, the place where Zacchaeus lived. And as he looked at the little man who had climbed up into a sycamore tree in order that he might get a good look at Jesus as he passed his way, he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come on down. I want to spend some time with you." And so they visited together. And he told Zacchaeus, "I am sure that what you're doing, Zacchaeus, is wrong. But I have come to grant you the forgiveness of your sins and to turn your life around." You see, Zacchaeus was one of those lost souls, as all people are who are outside of Jesus Christ. But he granted him the forgiveness of his sin. And as a result of that, Zacchaeus became a new person. So the next day when he faced his fellow countrymen, he said to them, "If I have stolen from any of you, I return it to you fourfold, and the half of my goods I am going to give to the poor." In other words, Jesus comes, and his mission here is to be the Savior. That is far more even than being the teacher. He is the one who has come to take upon himself our sins and to pay the price for these sins. Stop and think of it, friend. That's what the cross is all about. This is what we call the vicarious atonement. Jesus takes all of our sins upon him, pays the price, gives the sacrifice that God would see us through him cleansed. In other words, this sinless Son of God was willing to endure the cross and to suffer and die, only to be raised on the third day and to win the victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. That's why Jesus came. He had a mission. Recall in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said finally after battling this whole thing out, "No, for this reason I was sent into the world. Let us be about it." And so he turned his face to the cross, and there he died for you and for me. Through that death, if we will turn to him in faith by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then we are forgiven. And when we are forgiven, we are restored into fellowship with God to live with him forever. And that fellowship, my friend, is a personal fellowship. It is not one where God is impersonal and you can hardly touch him and know what he's up to. But he's a God who reveals himself and speaks to us daily in his word. He's a God who wants to be intimate with us. He's a God who wants us to come to him and to cast all of our cares upon him. And he wants us to know that he loves us. Why did Jesus Christ come? He came in order that our sins might be forgiven. The only way that they can be forgiven. And consequently, through that, we can have comfort, peace, joy, and understanding. Thirdly, why did Jesus Christ come? He came to change people. He came to give us a new life. He came to take away the sadness. Oh, it doesn't mean that there will not be grievous hours. But deep in our soul, there will be that love for the Savior. Notice what John writes in his gospel. And he quotes Jesus. I have come that they may have life and they may have it abundantly. People sometimes think, I think that is especially true when we're in midlife or even younger, I don't want to have anything to do with religion. It'll take all the fun out of life. I recall that in my own life. When I saw some of the people in church, and they were very, very faithful people, loving people, but they seemed to me as a teenage kid to be a little bit somber. And I can't say that I necessarily like to go to church twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday night. That was just a little bit too much. And I didn't like to memorize the catechism and all the rest. And I thought, man, away with all of this. I can't live my life that way. And so we think that there's no fun in religion. Well, I don't know about religion, but I know through many, many years now on the face of this earth that Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly and that there may be joy in our hearts. It is just the opposite from thinking that religion or Christianity is going to take the joy out of living. It isn't, friend. It's going to bring it right back in a real true sense of the word. Now, I think that we have to give people A for effort, that we try hard to make this an enjoyable life. Oh, I know there are those who are willing to waste their life and throw some good opportunities away. But I take a look at what people are doing. And here I see round about where I live some great houses that are going up. I enjoy watching them being built. They are being built because people want to have a nice house to live in. And they have been successful and have the money to buy it and build it. And why not do it? They find their joy in some of the material, and all of us do, don't we? That's natural. We've sent our children back to school, whether it's to kindergarten or on to graduate school or professional school, college, whatever it may be. We want them to have the very best as far as education is concerned, as much as they will take. I heard a dad say the other day, well, I'm willing to sacrifice as long as that child of mine wants to go to school and will benefit from it. I am the one who is willing to send him there. So we have a lot of well-educated people in our day, and they come out of these schools, and they're able to get very fine jobs. We try hard to remain healthy. We want to try to take care of our bodies as well as we can, that we not only live here a number of years, but we have quality living. I don't know. I think sometimes we get a little bit hard and condemn society for doing this. I give them A+ for effort. But having done all of this, something is still lacking. To do these things is not so bad. But to think that they are the final answer in bringing us comfort and hope and an abundant life is a height of stupidity. That can come only through Jesus Christ. St. Paul said, the individual does not need to be reformed. He doesn't need to be moralized. The individual needs to be transformed. He needs to be one for the Lord Jesus Christ. He needs to be converted. Listen to what Paul writes to the Corinthian church. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In other words, we are new people. Ask people like Tom Phillips, at one time head of Raytheon. what brings joy and peace to his soul. It is knowing Jesus Christ, and he was a man who without a doubt had all that he needed of the material, but there was still something lacking. And then Christ got a hold of him, turned that life around. That's exactly what happened to Paul. Paul was an ambitious man who probably wanted to be the chief rabbi in the city of Jerusalem, was well respected by the people of that particular persuasion. But then God got a hold of him in the person of Jesus Christ, turned him around, and Paul became a man who understood what the abundant life was all about. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Yes, to be a teacher. Yes, to be a savior. And yes, to make your life rich and abundant so that when you breathe your last breath, you can say, what an experience it has been. There have been trials and temptations, and I have fallen, and I have wept. But through it all, I have always known that there was a Lord who walks with me, comforts me, strengthens me. Ah, what an experience. And then that finally leads us to the fourth reason for his coming to this earth and what his mission really was, and that is to be our Lord forever. Oh, there's that marvelous passage. I hope that you really know it. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And one of the disciples said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus turned and said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. One day he's going to come, friend. And he's going to take all of those who trust him as their Savior and their Lord home to heaven. In other words, he's coming to get us. Our sins have been forgiven. We're in a relationship with God. And the heavenly home is ours. It is a gift. It is a gift. Don't we have to say, what would it all matter if I had gained the whole world, but I'd lost my Savior? Wouldn't it be terrible to have to close this life, breathe our last, and think that there is nothing else? He has provided a heavenly home for all of those who will trust him. And so I say, because the Word of God says, if you know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, aren't you thankful that he came to this earth to touch your life and make you his forever? And if you don't have him, doesn't his word make you want to know more about him and to receive him as your Savior and your Lord? In these teachings of the Christian faith, I hope you understand that Jesus' mission was to save you now and for all eternity. Amen.
If I gain the world but lost the Savior, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? If I gain the world.
Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that your word so specifically tells us who you are and why you came to this earth. Lord, we realize that it is only in faith that we can receive these blessed truths. And so we pray that you will build within our hearts a faith that trusts you and believes all that you have said. For then we know that we not only have a heavenly home, but we can have a life that is filled with peace and joy while we're here. We pray, O God, that you will increase the faith of those who are your children. We pray, O God, that you will send your Holy Spirit to do his work in the heart of those who yet struggle with the faith. May your blessings rest with those who are sick, upon beds of pain, where death perhaps draws nigh. Be with those who stand by them as their loved ones, and give them that peace which passes all understanding, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent on gifts from you, our listeners. In September, many of you give an anniversary gift of $67, $1 for each year of our ministry. We thank each of you for your gifts of any size and your prayers for our program. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 41 years.